These guys are warriors.
Live on Blog Talk Radio with The Game Plan. I'm your host, Jeremy the Impact York. We are here to talk all things Georgia State Panthers and all things Kennesaw State Owls. As always, we like to start it with the ground and pound that is the Panthers, and I can't do that. I can do that pretty decent by myself, but I do it a lot better with my special guest that I want to bring on right now. He is from GSUPantherTalk.com and many, many other things that would take the rest of the show to announce. He is Ben Moore. How you doing, Ben?
Hey, I'm great, Jeremy. Appreciate it, man.
Hey, it's good to have you on. And, you know, one of the sound bites I was telling you about let off the show for some random reason. But, hey, that's the way that we work here, I guess.
That's awesome. Hey, you know, best laid plans, right?
Oh, yeah. If we don't have a technical difficulty on this show, I really feel like there's a piano going to fall.
That's awesome.
But, yeah, it's not only good to have you on, as it always is, because we talk about the Panthers practically every game anyway, unofficially, I guess. But now we get to talk about all kinds of fun things, because not only have they won a handful of games in a row, not only do they have six wins, but they qualify for a bowl game. So, you know, that's the hot-button issue, the hot-button topic, I guess, that everybody's brought up to me. Let's talk about which bowl game you think they're going to be at.
Oh, that's a great question, actually. Well, the Sun Belt has five, so you have five teams that are, you know, five destinations from lovely Arizona to the Camellia Bowl down in Montgomery, Alabama, to the New Orleans Bowl, to the Cure Bowl, which the Panthers went to 2 years ago. And any of those bowl destinations certainly is an enormous step for first-year head coach Sean Elliott. But what could happen, and we'll see how it goes. We know there's a crap ton of bowls and not a whole lot of folks that may be bowl eligible in some of these other conferences. So there may be some scrambling going on. I remember the story basically after Georgia State beat Georgia Southern, it shifted no less than 17 bowls when Georgia State beat Georgia Southern down in Statesboro 2 years ago. So the good news is the Panthers have enough wins to qualify. It's just interesting to see what other major conference teams will do the same. There could be traditional powers like Florida State, and Florida, other schools who do not qualify for a bowl. Shoot, Tech, honestly, here in town, it has to win a couple games here in the next few weeks, and there's still potentially some conversation about them scheduling the 12th game as it stands right now. So, I've seen, you know, all kind of projections from Shreveport, Louisiana to Birmingham to, you know, all the lovely tourist destinations that I'm sure the Panthers wouldn't mind.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, the ESPN guys and by guys, I don't know which two or three of them get together and do this, but after each week's action in college football, they get together and they predict every bowl. Well, for about the last 2 weeks or so, they tend to think we're going back to the Cure Bowl, which is fine with me. But I've also heard a little rumblings could be the Camellia, could be the Dollar General, which is either Mobile or Montgomery. Those wouldn't hurt my feelings because those are in the range of Impact Media. We would definitely make those trips. Although if they went to New Orleans or Arizona, wouldn't hurt my feelings. And also, like you said, there's a chance they get a kind of an at-large bid somewhere else.
Yeah, I've seen everywhere from Birmingham. Nashville's been mentioned before as well. There's going to be quite a bit of shuffling, certainly for folks to figure out. And I know there's a lot of conversation, and you know, let's just call it what it is, too. You had a Sun Belt hold up their end of the bargain, too. You don't want them to get left holding the bag, having bids to these bowls that they're not eligible for if potentially one of the Louisiana teams falls down, Louisiana Lafayette or Monroe goes on a losing streak toward the end of the season. And you look out for a team like New Mexico State as well, where that would make more sense to put them in Arizona. Their fan base can travel to that game. Much less sense to send a team like Georgia State or App or Troy or somebody like that out that direction. So bowls are about selling tickets and getting folks to come out there, certainly to patronize the local businesses and come up to the game. So it's going to be a fun conversation, and certainly glad the Panthers are a part of it.
Yeah, that's what we said earlier after that win on Saturday. We were discussing Yukon Manon with us this week. It's fun to have this conversation again. And like you said, so far, Troy, Georgia State, and App State are the only three bowl-eligible teams from the Sun Belt, with Arkansas State, Louisiana, Louisiana Monroe, South Alabama, New Mexico State. Idaho is a really, really far outside chance, but a handful of teams that could qualify in. But I want to talk about this game against Texas State, because – I think the moral of this story was, not only did they not give up, but they never stopped digging, because there was a couple times during this game that a typical Panthers team, unfortunately, up until this year, you can almost count them out. Like, well, they're, you know, now they're down 10, or, well, that score took all the momentum away from them. Elliott's got them playing a completely different style that even fans are very surprised and very happy about.
No question. The attitude is completely different. I had a conversation very early in the season to talk to the coaching staff, and it was just almost a shift in philosophy. Not, hey, the other coaches like Coach Curry or Coach Miles weren't preaching discipline or things like that, but you actually started seeing that show up in the box score. You know, Georgia State's one of the fewest penalized teams in the country, so when you're not giving back yardage that way and doing dumb things and shooting yourself in the foot, you tend to have a shot and have a chance in this. And I think the more impressive thing to me is this team is winning close games and doing things like defensive stops the last 2 weeks, certainly down in Statesboro and on the road at San Marcos, where you're giving a team an opportunity to come back, but then shutting the slamming the door shut. That's been, you know, very impressive to me, as well as the play of Connor Manning. I mean, he was spectacular in the second half the last 2 weeks, and specifically in the Texas State game. I think it just was an attitude change. Ultimately, with the offensive line, Coach Elliott said it going into halftime. He said, look, you know, we're not blocking very well. We're going to go and fix that right now in the locker room. And that's another, you know, credit to him and the offensive staff as well. You've seen, changes and tweaks in the game plan in consecutive weeks that have resulted immediately in points in the second half. And that's credit to the staff making adjustments. Hey, this is what we see, becoming more efficient. And, like you mentioned, it's an attitude, the philosophy that we're not going to, you know, go down. And I think this team has rallied around that and certainly has put up results that I think for most folks around the program were cautiously optimistic coming into the season. We're going 0-2. You kind of had it rolling around in your head, hey, same old Panthers. But to win five games on the road is an incredible tribute to this program, and certainly what has gone on with the crazy schedule and everything like that. It's been impressive to see, and you know, you got two games left, and you know, you're still tied for the lead in the Sun Belt race here in the middle of November. So truly a credit to Coach Elliott, his staff, and quite honestly, the seniors on this roster that just want to go out, and have an opportunity to win a conference title.
Yeah, absolutely. And what was even fun to me is watching the feed from ESPN3 or ESPN Watch app to listen to other announcers that aren't necessarily our home announcers, because, hey, we have spectacular home announcers. We know that. We have probably one of the best media departments, but, yeah, we're kind of a little biased too. But listening to other people who may not necessarily have even watched this team before, and they call, you know, they did their research and they call out things like Connor Manning having – he's very relaxed. He's one of the announcers actually compared him to the Remember the Titans kind of laid back California guy that takes over a little bit into it. And I was like, well, that kind of is Connor. He's very laid back, but he's very efficient. He's having arguably one of the best seasons probably in the Sun Belt, and he's got to be maybe top 20 in the college world right now.
Yeah, I was looking, you know, somebody from one of the websites said he's actually one of the more efficient quarterbacks, you know, nationally in the country. And that's something that, you know, he's not going to wow you getting off the bus. I was most impressed and quite honestly a little shocked in Texas State game. He had 60 yards rushing, and that was an element of his game that quite honestly, with a fifth or a sixth year player, you just don't see it happen. But you know, was forced to run, and made the most of it. He's been so good on third downs as well. You're seeing him really that maturity and leadership come out. He's not a super vocal guy. He's not gonna be an in your face guy. But as you kind of mentioned, he's a little bit of a cool customer and just makes play after play. You count him out early. Hey, he struggles a little bit, and really, I think the really one glaring game that has jumped out in this streak here on the road or even at home against was Troy. And he even admitted post game, hey, look, it was a really, really awful game. I didn't play well. Certainly had help in that game as well. But when he plays well and find guys open, and it's not just Penny Hart. It's not just the Penny Hart show. Devin Gentry stepped up in a big way. The rushing game certainly contributed. And as we mentioned before, the offensive line and run game really got after it last Saturday.
Yeah, that he really did. And I always tell people that even if you did see the game live or even if you did see it, go back and watch it a second and a third time. One thing I was impressed with that, even they know at this point, they kind of been the butt of a handful of jokes and probably some friendly comments was the special teams, basically. And it's not the cover, it's the kicking mainly. But Brandon Wright had some solid kicks, all his field goals. I mean, two 48-yarders and two within 30 yards. And then between him and Oliver Holdenson with the punting, actually the kicking game has improved quite a bit.
Yeah, no, and Coach Elliott mentioned it. I mean, he was all set and ready to basically pull the plug on the Brandon Wright experience there this season and kick well in warm-ups, look really strong. Went to linebacker coach Rusty Wright and said, hey, we're going to give Brandon another shot. And he took over. And that's something that's credit to him and that kid's, moxie. But he is the lone scholarship guy back there in the kicking unit. Received that scholarship last year with head coach Trent Miles and had really, really struggled. Had been 4-for-13 on the season. I think, Will Lutz told me this a couple of years ago. It wasn't an issue for Brandon. With his leg strength, we saw the power he can certainly hit from 50 plus. It's just being accurate and being consistent and kind of equated it kickers to, swing a golf club. You have to be able to be consistent and hit the ball consistently. And Brandon went out there in big moments. And you look up and, if he misses a couple, Georgia State loses that game on Saturday. To credit to Brandon Wright, and then he even stepped in there late, grab a late punt that nearly got blocked and, was a monumental effort there for the redshirt sophomore.
And also, like I said, I love listening to announcers, like I said, that are not our home announcers. I love listening to our home announcers, but listen, like I said, people who don't know this team or aren't as familiar as we are with them, they just couldn't say enough about Chandon Sullivan, who, if I'm not mistaken, was he the one invited to the Senior Bowl, first in school history?
He was, yeah. Got invited to the Reese's Senior Bowl. Congratulations to Chandon. What's crazy is he was a guy that showed up at Trent Miles' camp, did a little bit of everything, was an athlete at a Winder Barrel High School, and just kind of seeing him develop, physically. He looks like an NFL corner, and he's going to get his opportunity. Has been scouted, had multiple scouts at games all season. Just a physical specimen, a guy that's played really, really well over the course of his career, and happy for him to get that opportunity. And he knows what to make of that, and certainly with alums already in the NFL, Chan has got the opportunity to go. And the most incredible part to me, and just talking to him, he gets the football experience, he gets what he has, and the abilities he has. He also understands, the kind of the weight of being a student athlete, and doesn't take that for granted either. He's up for a national, award among 16 finalists nationally for his work on the academic side of things as well. He's been on the president and dean's list nearly every single year he's been at Georgia State. So, embodies that student athlete. We forget about that a lot of times, and certainly gets a bad run. At a lot of bigger schools, but G5 schools and different things like that, they have guys that may or may not go pro. Have an opportunity to do that. So Chandon certainly has the opportunity on the field, but looks like off the field as well. So definitely a huge moment for the program to build on. And I agree with you. Sully's been playing really, really well.
Yeah, he absolutely has. And congratulations to Chandon Sullivan there. I think I've already told him in person, maybe, but even then, just shout out to him, and anybody that knows him, definitely give him a pat on the back for that. As we're joined by Ben Moore from GSUPantherTalk.com. You know, the last couple years, especially given the staff that Coach Miles had, even we knew this defense was really good. Obviously, when you have a coaching change, you're not, you know, kind of all bets are off. You're like, well, is this going to be a new scheme? Who are they going to bring in? Are they going to move guys around, do different things like that? What I like is that this year, not only is it the people we already knew, like the James Traylors, the Michael Shaws, the Shannon Sullivans, Jerome Smith, Trey Payne, we knew those guys. But it's the emergence of the DeAndre Applin. It's Victor Hayward, who had a sack over the weekend's game. It's the Remy Lazarus. The emergence of Julian Laurent in a bigger role. It's the fact that it's like each and every week, it's a different guy who steps into a bigger role, and this defense just continues to make the stops when they need to.
Yeah, and it's a credit to both staffs, and I think that's the important part about it. I've been catching up recently with former defensive coordinator Jesse Minner, who's now with the Baltimore mm-hmm. Ravens, and he's been impressed certainly with the way the front seven has played. They're top 30 in the country against the rush. I haven't allowed a 100-yard rusher all season long, which is just an incredible stat now in the way of, you know, college football, to really, really shut that down. And I've seen things on social media and other places, even Penn State bemoaning Saquon Barkley not going crazy against Georgia State. Well, really, no one's going crazy against Georgia State this year, especially
right
on the ground. And the two big plays that he had were you know, just guys making plays and broken plays in that Penn State game. But, you know, it's a credit to the guys buying in. And I like the way certainly the staff is you know, finding the best way to get guys on the field. You're seeing, you know, not having opportunities in guys, who have been in the program forever. They don't always start. You know, you've seen opportunities where even Chandon Sullivan has been, you know, taken down, going back and getting some reps when B.J. Clay's play well. Guys have stepped in, Antrell Allen, like you mentioned, or other guys like that. But I think you're seeing, you know, more and more guys that are contributing. And the biggest thing, I guess, the shining side of things for Panther fans is the fact that so many young guys are playing. You know, so you have seven freshmen playing on both sides of the ball. It's a huge growth area. Get them reps, get them opportunities, and make them plays. Guys like Dante Wilson, who are coming there and filling, you know, Laurent, give him a blow on the sidelines and playing very, very well, so there's no drop-off. I think that's the important part where these guys are growing and get an opportunity to play early. It certainly bodes well for the present and the future.
Yeah, and while I'm thinking about it, I think Brandon Wright was named GSU Student Athlete of the Week, so congratulations to him on that. And it was also announced that the next home game, which will not be this weekend but the following weekend, November 25th, that home game versus Appalachian State is going to kick off at 2 o'clock. I tell people all the time, this new stadium, it does look fantastic when it's all lit up at night, but this stadium was built for early afternoon football games. Do you agree?
Yeah, it's incredible. Just to get the skyline going on there in the background, you know, certainly to get every single opportunity to get in there afternoon. Truthfully, it doesn't bother me either way. Afternoon, evening game, I think it's an incredible venue. It's something that folks need to continue to come out and see. It's a battle for first place. I mean, that's the fun part. Next Saturday is going to have both teams coming off a bye. They'll be rested. They'll have an opportunity to study up plenty on each other. And, the loser basically is knocked out of the Sun Belt race with both teams basically being, having an opportunity to play in the postseason. So it's going to be exciting opportunity. There's certainly a lot of former App State folks on the Georgia State sideline, so there'll be a lot of bragging rights there, starting with Coach Elliott all the way into the administration with Charlie Cobb. So, there's a lot of crossover, a lot of folks, handshakes and hugs, I'm sure, on both sides. These guys know each other really well. And, the biggest thing Georgia State's going to look forward too is trying to get a win over App. That's been the biggest thing in football. It really hasn't been close. Trying to get that, knock that guy off the mountain per se. So it'll be fun to watch. I'm glad we have a week to prepare for it.
And also, while I'm thinking about it, not only I got to come. It seems like every week I have to come up with a new nickname for Kyler Neal, because first I called him Mr. 1,000 when he eclipsed 1,000 total yards rushing for his career, and then over the weekend he had the big touchdown at the end I believe is his 12th total, which ties him for the school record. I mean, what else can we say about Kyler Neal? But he takes whatever role you throw at him, and he just excels with it.
Yeah, it's been interesting too. You know, the coaching staff's moved him around a little bit, even had him in that fullback role, which I certainly like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just kind of being hammerhead. Speaking of nicknames, I did enjoy the nickname that former AJC beat writer Doug Robertson called him, the Battleship, because basically he just went one direction
like that.
And that was it. No cutting. Although we've seen some of that here lately, but you know, he's just a gritty guy. You know, he's going to do, you know, put his head down, do his job. A lot of times, too, he's a guy that's going to be in there on passing downs. He's a really, really good blocker, and chipping guys off the edge and things like that. But, I'm happy for him to have success there as a senior. He's been through the depths. He's been to a bowl game,
mm-hmm.
and he'll be going back to a bowl game as a senior. So he's riding the EKG there a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. I swear I knew where I was going next and completely forgot. But, I know what I was going to ask. It's a rumor anymore. They have confirmed that next year the Sun Belt will be divided into two divisions with a title game, correct?
That's correct.
But as of this year, there is no title game. So when you say, you know, we play Appalachian State with the loser technically being out of the race, it's just whoever has the best record plus tiebreakers at the end gets the trophy, right?
Yeah, things get real fun. There's a lot of ifs and buts and candies and nuts here during the holiday season. You've got four teams basically in a tie with South Alabama knocking off Arkansas State this past Saturday. Now, four teams tied with one loss. Depending on what shakes down in the App State Georgia State game, what could happen this weekend? Truthfully, there's a lot of swinging parts there. But just to kind of be in the race, I think is an enormous, enormous step. It's a conversation that just really hadn't happened in the previous season. We were kind of going through the list, and you know, I tweeted out after the game Saturday. You know, it's November the 11th, and Georgia State is in first place in a tie for first place in the conference standings. And this is new territory. And a credit to the staff, as well, having them handle success and having players handle success and still have that goal in front of them. It's going to be fun to watch. And, App would really be put behind the eight ball. And, you know, who knows what happens with an Idaho team coming up in a couple weeks either. You know, they have seven losses, so technically they're eliminated from bowl contention. And this is also their last game in the FBS. They'll be dropping down to FCS after this season. So, you know, what's the players', mindset? Going into that game, it's a long way to travel from Moscow, Idaho. So, the Panthers truly have their opportunity here in the next, couple weeks to really do some damage and potentially get a share of a bowl bid, or a Sun Belt championship.
Now, I didn't know that. Appalachian State's dropping down after this year?
That's Idaho, not App.
Idaho, okay. I'm making sure I heard that right. Idaho is, all right. Good. That means they wouldn't affect Kennesaw, which we'll talk about in a minute. But, Ben, I know you have other pressing matters you need to get to. You probably need to update GSUPantherTalk.com, among other things. Appreciate your time, and we will definitely do this again down the road. And I guess I will see you on the 25th.
Yeah, sounds good, man. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, and always good to catch up, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving to all your family. Make sure you let them know. And that was Ben Moore from GSUPantherTalk.com. He is one of my favorite guests to have on, and one of yours as well. You guys always enjoy when we have him on. Just a fantastic guy. I literally do know his whole family at this point. I always get to see him at the games. I've even went so far as to try to recruit his daughters to occasionally kick field goals when we needed them. When there were some injury issues, but good thing is we didn't have to do that, but I trust they could do that. And, his dad's fantastic. He's up there in the media booth with us. So just good people all around, but yeah, best way to talk about both of these as we're about to right after the break, we'll get into some KSU talk. But, The best way that I can summarize this Panther team is exactly how I told him. I mean,
these guys are warriors.
They absolutely are. They are absolute warriors. I mean, Kyler Neal, the battleship, I like that, goes one direction. He does. He goes straight towards the end zone. And he's a guy that, you know, they say all the time, he's the kind of guy that'd run through a brick wall for you. Yeah, he would. And I feel bad for the wall at that point, because it's not gonna be in big chunks. It's gonna be in many little pieces. So, you know, shout out to the whole team, all the guys we mentioned, even all the guys we didn't. What a just a fantastic, fantastic overall performance. But like I said, when we get back from the break, we're going to talk some KSU Owls. We've got some other fun stuff coming up with that. But I'm Jeremy, the Impact York. We'll see you on the other side of the break, right here on Game Plan.
Jeremy, the Impact York from Endzone here. Would you or your business like to advertise with Endzone? It's easier than you think. With many packages available, we've got the perfect deal to help you promote your business to a whole new audience. All you have to do is contact us at 3endzone@gmail.com for more info and to get started today. Let us help you grow your business.
And we're back on the Game Plan. Jeremy the Impact York just finished up our great talk with Ben Moore from GSUPantherTalk.com. We had some great things we talked about, including the Panthers qualifying for a bowl game. Isn't that a novel concept? Just 2 years ago, they qualified for the Cure Bowl, the first bowl game in school history. Now it looks like the second one's on its way. Just fantastic, absolutely amazing. But let's get into some KSU stuff. Of course, the KSU Owls win 38-0 over Charleston Southern at home. It got a little chilly there towards the end, but fantastic how that all worked out. I had said on the – I hope you guys got a chance to check out the pregame show, the postgame show, and also the halftime show I did as I multitask and get a bunch of other stuff going. You guys are going to like this because the things I said that we needed to do, you know, part of the four keys I had, we needed to get Burks early. Well – we definitely did that. He wasn't picking up big chunks of yards early, but it was enough to keep the defense off balance for Charleston Southern, who were the Buccaneers. So we were trying to figure out what a group of Buccaneers is called, you know, because a lot of times, You know, a lot of times people think if you don't get a lot of yards early or if you don't really establish dominance, which we were doing then with the battle in the trenches. We were winning that for sure. I believe that was my fourth key that I'll get to. But, you know, I wanted to get Burks early because that was going to set up McKenzie and Recksteiner smashing up the middle that ultimately would open up other things as well, which it did, including, you know, we won the field position battle. And, you know, just ultimately dominated the game. This defense loves pitching shutouts, and we'll get to that here in a minute. Yeah, 38-0, and that was at home, and that sets up the big-time matchup this weekend, which we will get into in a minute. But, you know, I want to give a special shout-out to Rich Eisen right now. Why Rich Eisen, you may say? Here's why Rich Eisen. Because on his show earlier this week, he now has a hot take board that he uses. Well, a hot take plank. Well, and guess where he got the idea for that? He even gets credit, saying that the turnover board that KSU uses, he gets full credit. That's what he uses when he wants to take a hot take. He gets the hot take plank instead of the turnover plank that our Owls use when they make great plays. But, you know, just looking at this game, because I do want to go over some of the stats here. We had some incredible performances, and that's not a way of saying, well, we did some things here and there. Like, no, it's because Charleston Southern, they brought it. They just didn't get any points. But, no, I remember those saying, you know, a lot of times groups of animals, we try to come out, you know, pride of lions, a murder of crows. Well, Charleston Southern is the Buccaneers, so we, or I out loud, not sure if I should have, I out loud, although Charleston Southern guy was there, and he was good with either of these, I said, what would you call a group of Buccaneers? Would that be a crew? Somebody else said a shipload, so, you know, either way, they did a good job. There we go. There's the stats I was looking for. Darnell Holland. Go ahead and have yourself a day, sir. And that's something I actually said via the Twitter live tweeting I was doing during the game. He had 16 attempts. He gained 109 total yards. He had 100 by the first half. He didn't play as much in the second half. He also had 3 touchdowns. Would have had a fourth, but even he would tell you he shouldn't have extended his hand the way he did. And it got tipped and fumbled through the side of the end zone. And we all know from the Jets-Patriots game, what happens in, that is a touchback. The ball is given to the defending team. Don't agree with it, but that's what it is. Shaquille Terry also had himself a day. 11 carries for 67 yards. Tommy Bryant, the guy who hadn't got to play a whole lot, is making the most of his opportunities. He had 1 carry for 51 yards and a touchdown. My goodness. Have yourself a day, sir. Have yourself a day. Some of the other notables, because everybody was getting in on it. Chandler had 26. Jake McKenzie had 15. Some hard yards for him. Bronson Recksteiner had 5 carries for 33 yards and a touchdown. TJ Reed got in on the action with 42. We had 343 total rushing yards. Wow. Right? And the Buccaneers only had 11 more receiving yards than we did. We only threw four passes, four completions. With Justin Sumter getting two receptions for 35 yards and Shaquille Terry getting two receptions for 33 yards. But, yeah, that's pretty crazy, isn't it? In fact, Johnson, I think, was his name. Their quarterback had nine completions in 16 attempts. That means about two out of three, roughly. For 79 yards and an interception, he was sacked three times. We actually sacked Mitchell, who was 0 for 3 and threw an interception. Sacked him once as well. It was, it was something. It was something else. Now, you know, their team was making some good plays on defense here and there, but not quite like ours. Dorian Walker ended up with two sacks. Bryson Armstrong had two. Peyton Moore had one, and Bryson actually had the strip sack. At one point, Bryson actually had a interception that was called back. It ended up not being an interception, but didn't seem to deter him that much. Because on the very handful of plays later is when he had the strip sack. Just fantastic. Let's see. We got a couple of the clips. We're having problems with our clips, apparently, so bear with us on that. We do have one right now. Okay, if the other ones pop up before the end, I will get to those. But we ask Anthony Gore his thoughts on the shutout in this defensive effort.
Well, the win is bigger than anything, but the goose egg just makes us feel better going into next week. And all credit to Charleston Southern coaches and players. They play us tough every year, and it just feels good to get the dub this year.
There you go. Anthony Gore, that guy was great. I need to post some of these pictures that I take at press conferences and such so you guys can see what some of these guys look like and see how big these smiles are. These are all great guys. We have a lot of fun with it. But, yeah, that's the goose egg means a lot more because it's different. There's a difference in making good plays or even winning, having great defensive performance. But they want to be as mistake-free as possible, and any chance they get to pitch a shutout, you can bet they will. What I like was Jace White with the interception. Ran it back for 25 yards. And McKenzie Billingsley with a big interception. If I'm not mistaken, he tipped that up in the air and caught it himself. What a great play. This is a fantastic play. I had that backwards. Anthony Gore actually had the two sacks. And eight total tackles, not Dorian Walker. Dorian Walker had five tackles on his own. Fantastic effort there. Izzy Sam had a tackle for loss. Abdul Davis had a tackle for loss. It just, everybody was getting out on the act. Just overall team effort. But, you know, this sets up. It sets up the big matchup. Of course, that would be this Saturday. That is a 2 p.m. start, starting a little earlier. Once again, I say the same thing. As great as Fifth Bank Stadium looks all lit up at night, which we'll get to see probably in the second, probably fourth quarter. That stadium was built for afternoon football. And it's a fantastic thing. The Big South matchup, it all comes down to two teams. Our Kennesaw State Owls. Them, the Monmouth Hawks. The two division leaders. The winner of this game is the Big South champion. Big South champion. It sounds pretty good, doesn't it? It'll sound a lot better when we get it. That game's going to be on ESPN3. Remember I said you go to ESPN.com or click on the Watch tab. It should come up on there. May have to look around for it a little bit here and there, but trust me, it'll be on there. Or you can watch the replay a couple days later. You just go to schedules and replays on that. You can also listen to 106.3 FM, 1230 AM, The Fan 3, I believe. Either way, 106.3 FM, 1230 AM, you can listen to them on the radio, or you can be there live. Great seats still available. I'll be there. Thing still goes. If you see me at one of these games, find me, take a selfie. I always have time to chat and hang out with you guys for a second. I love meeting people that listen to the shows and everything. Take a selfie, post it on social media, tag either myself or the show on it, and we'll get some swag out to you. We got some fun swag, working on some new shirts. We got some stickers, some other things, some prize packs we're working on. So if you see us out there, hit us up. But yeah, this is also Senior Day and Student Appreciation Day. So come support these seniors. If you're a student, come be appreciated. And I know I'm gonna sound kind of goofy or dumb here, but the group of students that get all painted up at the, if you're on the home side, it'd be the right end zone area. They get all painted up. They have a great time. They are super, super people. I've gotten a chance to talk to them a few times. Yeah. They're great. They're absolutely great. If somebody has somebody on the text line or something wants to give me a heads up on their name, not their actual names. I don't need individual names. No, just. But everybody knows who I'm talking about. They are fantastic. They are true warriors down there that keep everybody riled up. They sit right next to the band. You guys know who I'm talking about. But either way, special shout out to them. They do a fantastic job. I'm going to try, if you guys are listening right now, any of you guys or gals that are down there, I'm going to try to get over there and maybe come meet you guys pregame just to say hello and once again let you guys know how appreciated that you guys are, at least to me. I love that kind of thing. The Panthers have a group that do the same thing, and next Panther home game, I'm going to come find you guys as well. But, yeah, that's – you know, the big game basically, and it works out to where there's no game for Georgia State. All focus is going to be on Kennesaw. But now I want to shift focus a little bit. I'll come back and recap all this here in a minute. I want to shift focus, as I have done. You guys like to hear about the top four and my rankings and such. I still say right now rankings don't mean that much as far as who's in the top six or so, because there's only a handful of teams to me that still have a chance. Like Michigan, unless they win the Big Ten and win out, I don't see them getting – a chance up there. Now they can knock off Wisconsin and really ruin them, but that is what it is. Obviously number one, Alabama. I don't have a problem with that. Miami with the big win over Notre Dame, moving up to number two, according to the AP top 25. That's what I'm basing this on. Three, Oklahoma, four, Clemson. I would consider those the four best teams. They have Wisconsin and Auburn on the outside looking in, and they have Georgia at seven. Yeah, I'd put them up there. I really think those seven are the ones who have the best shot. The only outside shot that I see that's any further than that is USC, who is either 11 or 12, depending on which one you look at. USC, if they continue to play the way they are, maybe they find their way into the top four. But at the current moment, I feel like Alabama and Miami or Clemson, one of those two, maybe both, will be in there. That third and fourth spot is what to really watch for. But as far as that goes, yeah, I don't have a problem with Alabama there. Miami at two, Oklahoma, Clemson, Wisconsin, Auburn, Georgia. Yeah, that's about right. It's still a handful of weeks to go. They got to keep up what they're doing. The SEC Championship's going to have a lot to do with it, but and the Iron Bowl as far as SEC stuff goes, and the ACC Championship as well. We'll see how things go. Like I said, no game for Georgia State this week, and Kennesaw has the big matchup with the Monmouth Hawks. If you're looking for something fun to do this Saturday, by 2 o'clock, make yourself down to Kennesaw, Georgia, 5th Third Bank Stadium. I said, I'll be out there. A lot of you guys will be out there. Look forward to seeing everybody. I want to thank my guest from GSUPantherTalk.com, Ben Moore. That guy's great. Always comes with the knowledge. Social media shout out was Rich Eisen. You can follow him at Rich Eisen. That's RICHEISEN. Thanks for the KSU shout out, Rich. And keep doing what you're doing. Always been one of my favorites. I'm Jeremy the Impact York for Impact Media, for my guest Ben Moore, and for the great Rich Eisen. This has been The Game Plan. We will see you guys next week. Go Owls. Go Panthers.
A lot better when you win.